Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after losing her sister to cancer, she obviously never expected to see her again, at least not standing in the living room.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. We love to hear them. We love to talk about them. Call them in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like an ad-free version of the show, you'll get the advance episodes and access to the archive, all that, if you become a premium subscriber. So sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes Harper. How's everything, friend?
Hey, hey, hey. Everything is good. How's your life?
I have been so busy. It's like been kind of nonstop lately. Mm-hmm. And that's good and kind of bad. The other day it hit me. I'm like, I need to get bored. Like, I haven't been bored in a really long time. That kind of sounds delightful. It's like, I am so bored. I'm like, I could go for that. But that's not going to happen for a while because I got a show I have to write. I got a vacation coming up. I'm going to go see my sister, Kathy Gordon, meet her new grandbaby, see my nephew.
Oh, that'll be fun.
My niece-in-law. Yeah, my niece from Spain, Kathy's daughter, Kate. She's going to meet me there, so I get to see her too. So it's all good. So I got some stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I love my sister, Kathy. I love all three of my sisters and my brother. But I'm telling you what, if something ever happens to one of them, heaven forbid, I do not want to see them standing in my living room.
Yeah, I get that. Because neither would I. Like, if like one of my close friends were to die, it's like, yeah, no, please don't come back.
It's actually. Like, Carol, no, Carol. No, you cannot be in my living room right now. You so dead. Yeah. Don't do this to me. But it's interesting.
No, bad Carol.
I am so pissed off at you, Carol. Don't ever show back up again. No. But this is an interesting take on it because I think she found it comforting. So It says, I've always been a bit cautious when it comes to believing in ghosts. I mean, I've heard the stories. I've had my own weird moments, but I've never been the type to jump to conclusions. But lately, let's just say I'm not as skeptical as I used to be. I can't believe she'd even say that. I would think she'd go, I'm not skeptical. And it all started after my sister passed away. I live in the South Coast area of Massachusetts. It's beautiful. It's got that old historic vibe that can feel a little eerie if you're in the right mood. About 3 years ago, I lost my sister to cancer. The cancer took everything from her. She'd lost a lot of weight, her hair. She wasn't the same person by the end. But before all that, she was the rock of the family. She was the person everyone went to for advice, for help, for a laugh. She was just always there. Ugh, it's making me sad just thinking about that. Yeah. Her passing in November was tough, as you can imagine, and we all grieved. But as life goes on, you have to keep going. You just can't stop everything. So after some time passed, I went back to work and tried to carry on with my routine. 3 months after her death, I had this experience that completely changed how I see things. It was an ordinary morning, a regular Tuesday. I was getting up for work, doing the usual showering, getting dressed, trying to wake up enough to function properly. I'd gotten dressed, then walked from my bedroom into the living room. That's when it happened. Standing there, in front of me, was my sister. Like, there. Not a shadow, not a flicker of light. She was standing there clear as day. She was wearing her usual jeans and flannel shirt, the lunch bag she always carried in her hand. Her face had that huge, bright smile she used to wear all the time, the one that lit up every room she walked into. I stopped in my tracks. I had to blink a few times just to make sure I wasn't seeing things. I was pretty groggy, so maybe I was still half asleep or something, but no, she was standing right in front of me. It was her. No signs of the illness, no weight loss, no hair loss, just the way she was before everything went downhill with the cancer. I couldn't believe it. I called out her name, almost like I was waiting for her to tell me I was dreaming. I remember saying, "What are you doing here? I wasn't expecting you." I don't know why I said that, but it felt right. It wasn't like I was scared. I wasn't frightened at all. In fact, I felt warm and comforted. It was like a weight had been lifted off of my shoulders, and before I could say anything more, she just disappeared. One second she was there, the next second she was gone. I stood there for a moment, completely stunned, and my mind was trying to catch up with what had just happened. It wasn't like I saw her in my peripheral vision or caught a glimpse of her out of the corner of my eye. This was as real as you or me standing here talking. I could see every detail, the way the light hit her hair, everything. It was like she was just back. But I wasn't scared. In fact, I felt this overwhelming sense of peace. I had spent months missing her, grieving her, but in that moment, she was right there with me, and I felt like I could finally breathe again. That's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
After that morning, I never saw her again in that house. It was almost like she just wanted to let me know she was okay, like, hey, I'm still here, everything's fine. It was strange but comforting, and I didn't really talk much about it at first because, well, who would believe me? But honestly, I just didn't care. It was something that happened, and it helped me heal. It was like she had come back for a moment to show me she was still around, even if she wasn't physically here anymore.
Okay, that's actually really sweet.
It is. I could see how you would be comforted, because that's how she felt in that moment. It wasn't like, oh my God, what? I think she was startled.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh my God, run out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward a bit, and my husband and I moved. The move was a big change. But oddly enough, that's when my sister visited again. The weird part, she showed up in the new house, one she'd never been to, never even seen. We only had just moved in a few days before, and yet there she was, standing in the living room. I don't know why she'd come back, especially after all this time. The house wasn't even one she knew about. We hadn't talked to her about the new place when she was still with us, but there she was, the same as before, wearing her favorite jeans, that familiar smile. My husband was sitting in the living room with me when it happened. He didn't see her at first, but I did. I froze, just staring at her, wondering if I was imagining it again. But no, she was real. I called out her name like I did the first time, but this time I wasn't as calm as I had been before because I was more startled. I guess the first visit had prepared me, but this one was different. It almost was like she was reaching out to me again, but this time in a place that didn't make sense. So I asked her, what are you doing here? This isn't your house. And just like that, she smiled as if she was saying, I'm just checking in on you. And before I could ask anything else, she was gone. I don't know if the stress of moving or just the overwhelming feeling of missing her, but I can't shake the feeling that she was trying to tell me something. Maybe she was just letting me know that she was still there in spirit, still watching over me, but the strange part is she never came back after that. I've thought about it a lot. I'm not sure what it all means. I would think about that constantly.
Oh, yeah, that was like, I would never get anything done.
I would obsess. Maybe it was my mind processing the grief in its own way, or maybe it was a sign. It wasn't the kind of haunting you see in movies. It wasn't scaring or unsettling. It was comforting. It felt like she was just trying to remind me that she was okay and I would be too. Since then, I haven't had any more visits, but every now and then I'll catch myself thinking about her and I feel a sudden warmth like she's just around the corner and I smile to myself. I'm not really sure how to explain it, and I don't really need to. I just know what I saw, I know what I felt, and for that brief moment, it was like she was telling me, I'm still here and I'm still watching over you. Don't you think that's exactly what that was?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, just because she moved to a new house, what does the location matter? Because her sister was there to visit her, not the house.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting because she said that it happened with her husband in the room, but she never did say if he saw it or not.
Yeah, I'm going to take it he didn't. I'd be more like interested about, like, did he see it?
I'm going to guess the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because I think if he had seen it, then...
But then I almost kind of wonder how that situation would have looked. Like imagine, like, your wife is just, like, talking to air. What do you do?
Well, from his perspective, like, she's, like, sister, whatever her name was, I don't know. What are you doing here? You startled me, or whatever she said. And he would be sitting there going, what are you doing?
I mean, I'd be a little freaked out if I was in the husband's shoes.
But she didn't say either way, so I don't know. Maybe the husband did see her and she just left that out. Or maybe it wasn't about the husband. It was really about her connection with her sister.
Yeah.
And he wasn't meant to see her. But see, I think it was all about... I don't think she would have seen her again if she hadn't moved. Mm-hmm. I think her seeing her again was the sister acknowledging, you moved into a new house. I want you to know that I'm always with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's... I don't think she'll... maybe ever see her again.
Maybe, maybe not.
But that, I think it's so interesting because I think in my head, if that happened to me, that would freak me out. Seeing someone I love standing there just plain as day. But then I also do see why that would be such a comforting feeling.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Okay, here's one more. It says, it was a quiet evening. I was sitting in my basement apartment watching TV. My landlord and his friend were upstairs, probably enjoying some TV time of their own. And my boyfriend was at his place. I had the place to myself, or so I thought, but I wasn't prepared for what happened next. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a man standing by my refrigerator. At first, I assumed, bum, 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 bum. At first, I would assume it was a serial killer. At first, I assumed it was a trick of the light, or maybe my mind was playing tricks on me. I mean, no one was supposed to be here. The room was quiet, except for the sound of the television. But the moment I turned my head, I realized it was no trick. The man was dressed in a blue shirt and beige pants, but there was something off about him. He wasn't just standing there like anyone casually might. Oh, Jesus. He was holding a knife covered in blood.
Okay.
At that point, I would be running out of that freaking house. I'd be screaming if the landlord's right upstairs. I'd be screaming for help because that would say to me, it's a serial killer. Oh, my God.
I'd be out.
I would be like, he just killed my landlord.
It's like, oh.
Oh, my God. So
what the landlord do?
Oh my God. So knife covered in blood. With every step he took, he left a trail of it behind him. His hands, his shirt, everything was soaked in blood.
It wasn't
just the blood that struck me though, it was his face.
Oh. That's slightly insulting. What I like
that.
Do?
I like that Harper noise. Oh. Oh, is a little like off the Wizard of Oz. Oh, Dorothy.
Oh. I'm like laughing and I'm also like shocked at the same time. Like, what?
Oh, my God. His expression was something I'll never forget. His eyes were wide, full of fear, and his mouth was slightly open, like he knew exactly what he had done but had no idea how to fix it. It was look that chilled me to the core. He didn't say anything. There was no plea for help, no explanation for why he was standing there in my kitchen with that horrible expression on his face. He just stared at me, his eyes filled with guilt and terror. I couldn't move. My heart raced as I tried to process what I was seeing. That would be interesting. That would be weird because me, like, I could see a mouse. And I'm not shitting you because I have an irrational fear of them. But I could see a mouse run across the floor of my house and I could jump up faster and run. Like it's fast.
Yeah.
I would like to think that my irrational fear of mice response would kick in when I would see something like that. Like I would like to think I wouldn't ever be frozen in fear. I would be like, shit, and just run.
I feel like I'd be more so questioning the situation. Like, what?
Do you think you would stand there? I like to think I would just take off running.
I'd pull out a mic from my magical back pocket and I'd start interview.
Well, don't you think it could be like, if you're actually seeing this, don't you think you could think it's a murderer? Like.
It sounds like good comedy material.
Ugh. So it says, my heart raced as I tried to process what I was seeing. I could feel my body tense up, every muscle frozen in place. I was terrified, but somehow I forced myself. Oh, wait, what? But somehow I forced myself to get up and go to bed, hoping that maybe, just maybe, if I ignored it, it would go away.
Oh, so there's a man in your kitchen just standing there with a knife covered in blood.
I guess
time to go to bed.
I guess the part that I'm missing here is that she must have felt like she was seeing a ghost. But the way she describes it is she saw a man by her refrigerator. Now, at that point, and it's this man is dripping blood, holding a knife. Like, paranormal or not paranormal, I'm not going to bed. That ain't happening. I'm going to go get the landlord.
I mean, kind of depends on what time it is. Like, look, if it's after, like, 10 p.m., I'm going to bed, man. Okay.
Nuh-uh, no way. Yeah. There's no way you are going to bed. You are not seeing a man with a bloody knife in your kitchen by your fridge and go,
okay, but
it is past 10. I am going to bed.
It's past 10. I'm going to bed. This ain't my problem.
I got school tomorrow.
Right?
So this person goes to bed. Let's see. Hoping maybe, just maybe, if I ignored it, it would go away. But it didn't.
Okay.
See, I've been down this road. I guess it's because of my old age that I know better. Should have left. I had no idea how I even managed to sleep that night, but I did, with a sense of the man's presence lingering in the back of my mind. The next morning, I tried to shake it off, convincing myself that maybe I'd been overtired. Maybe it was my imagination. But as soon as night fell again, the fear crept back in. Later that weekend, I decided to visit my boyfriend to get away from everything. I would have visited my boyfriend with a U-Haul full of shit. honey, I think I'm moving in. I thought being out of my apartment might help me forget what had happened, but even then, I couldn't escape. As I stood by the window of my boyfriend's place, I saw him again, the same man, standing outside. It is a serial killer.
That's a little concerning.
My heart sank. I could barely breathe. There was no way I was going back to my apartment after that. I felt trapped. I was too scared to go home. I was terrified of seeing him again, of him coming back into my space, and of what it all meant. My body shook as I cried in my boyfriend's arm for the first time. I wasn't sure how to make sense of what I'd seen. What did this man want from me? Was he real, or had I lost my mind?
I think this is time where we call the police. I think this should have been the first thing that would have happened.
Because she doesn't say that, you know, the way she describes him, he could be a person.
Yeah.
It says, I didn't go back to my apartment for the rest of the weekend. I couldn't. I stayed at my boyfriend's place trying to push the fear out of my mind. But when I finally did go back, I was relieved to find the man was gone. Or is he?
I'd hope so.
He could show back up. He showed up at the boyfriend's house.
Or is he?
I never saw him again after that. And while I still have my doubts about what happened, I'm just thankful I don't have to face that terror anymore. Sure, I've had other weird experiences in my life, but nothing was ever as scary as that.
And there was never an idea to file a police report?
Because it could have been real. I never saw him again. I can't help but wonder what he wanted. Was he lost? Was he looking for redemption? Or was he trapped, forever caught in some horrific moment from his past? I don't know, and I'm not sure I want to know. Shauna. I don't think it was any kind of he's caught. The weird part about this story to me is that she saw him at home, then she saw him at the boyfriend's house, which that meant he's following her. So if he's caught in some residual haunting loop, like, oh my God, what I just do? I just murdered someone and I'm reliving that over and over and over. It wouldn't have been at her boyfriend's house.
Well, I mean, unless it's like, because she also states that like the man like looks guilty and like afraid, which that adds like a sense of like, okay, so you're not like entirely dangerous, right? I guess.
Here's my thinking. He was standing there with a knife covered in blood that was dripping. And yeah, he might have just accidentally murdered somebody. But when you just look at the scene, the guy's a murderer.
But we don't know the context of the situation. It could have been like a horrific, like, thing where, like, the guy was, like, fighting for his life, okay?
And, like, okay, he's just, like, so forever. Think about that. So if, okay, say you were in a horrible situation and it's die or be killed, or, yeah, no, wait, that's the same thing. It is kill or be killed. And so you have to kill, which would be horrible to be in that scenario. But then you have to live, like, as a ghost, reliving that. Like, are you caught? Like, you can't go to the light or something? Like, why? That's horrible. That you would have to be reliving that horrific thing. It's like, that wasn't even your fault. You were in a kill or be killed situation. You did the only thing you could. It seems like you should move on and be at peace after that. Or maybe counseling.
Maybe.
Because if you lived through it, I don't know. But
then again, there's also, like, no depiction of, like, what this guy, like, really looked like, aside from, like, the blood and stuff.
That's probably all I would remember, though. It's like, okay, I saw this. He had a bloody knife. It was dripping. He was dripping. There was blood everywhere. He looked scared.
You think it'd be, like, kind of, like, notable to, like, I don't know, like, think about, like, what time period maybe this, like, his clothes looked like from, because, like, I don't know. It just,
that could matter, because she's implying in this story that he's a ghost, that he's
that's
some
implied,
kind of spirit.
But that's
she
not,
doesn't
like,
ever come
said
out and say why she thinks that. Because she said, she saw a man standing by my fridge, and she thought it was a trick of light. But he was dressed in a blue shirt and beige pants, and something was off about him. Which is funny that she says that. There was something off about him. He was holding a knife.
Maybe just a little bit, just a little bit off, you know.
That's a
maybe
little
it was
off.
The blood, maybe it was the knife.
Dripping,
you know,
blood in the knife,
that's,
I don't know.
That's a normal everyday outfit, totally.
I don't know. It's like, is it really a ghost? Or was it a killer who's following her around? I don't think it's a killer, because he wouldn't still be dripping blood the second time she saw him. Because the first time I would be like, I would have freaked out thinking my landlord had been murdered.
Right? It's like, oh, my poor landlord.
So maybe it's after she saw him the second time. Oh, my poor landlord. I have got to go to bed. It's after 10.
Right.
I'm dealing with the serial killer in my kitchen tomorrow.
Well, hey, it's after 10. Can you blame the girl? I'm tired.
I'm going to text my friends in my group text before I go to bed and call it a night. I don't know. It's got to be paranormal, but it seems more about her than the house.
Yeah.
Because it followed her.
Yeah.
But thank God it didn't happen to her again, because that would freak me out.
Hey, third time's the charm.
I would not like that at all. And I hate that that happened to her. That would be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I am really sorry, Shanna, that you had to go through that, because that would be absolutely terrifying. A ghost and a serial murderer ghost. This is
okay,
the worst
but,
case
like,
scenario.
Think about it. I'm sorry. I can't help but laugh at this, like, that situation, because I think I would laugh too. It's like, huh? Like, what are you doing here?
Like, excuse me. What are you doing in my house? Do you have ill intentions?
Like, you want some snacks?
You want a beer? Like, I'll give you a beer. You know, that good with the help. You need 50 bucks to get out of the house. Maybe I got some money.
You want some Cheez-Its?
And by the way, is my landlord okay? I just need
my landlord. Is my landlord at least still breathing?
This does not look good.
This does not look good.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you'd like. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.